Welcome back to another Edge Garden podcast, where we are dedicated to championing your human potential in Christ. Today's topic is entitled, What to Do Less Of and More Of. What are you putting your time, energy, and attention on these days? Is it aligned with the good life that Jesus desires for you to step into? Do you give your flesh permission to guide your spirit? Or are you giving your spirit permission to guide your flesh? The learning objective in today's podcast is simple: to give you very specific guidance from Colossians chapter 3 on what to set your mind on, because your behaviors follow whatever you're entertaining between your two ears, whatever you're giving airtime to between your two ears, your behaviors will flow from that space. In that space, you've got a lot of different characters, and many of those characters are rooted in the flesh. What I think, what I want, what I need, talking about my positionality over your positionality. It's that self-focus that Jesus continually addressed when he walked this earth and continues through the power of the Holy Spirit within us to nudge us away from that self-focus. Why? Not to be strict or cruel in any way, to free us from weight, from heaviness, from clinging to those lead balls of attachment that we have in our lives. I need people to respond to me a certain way. I need to have certain accomplishments. I need to know the future. I need to understand the past. Our need to know is another heavy weight that is something worth exploring putting off in our life, to feel safe whether or not we know or whether we don't know, and to be attentive to the next step that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. So before we begin today's podcast, just think about your last 2 weeks. Allow your mind to wander to those situations that feel heavy to you, that actually took up some landscape between your two ears after the situation was over, meaning you ruminated. The word rumination actually comes from the act of a cow chewing over and over again, swallowing what they chew, the grass, spitting it back up, and chewing it again. That's the original root of the word ruminating. And we do quite a bit of that. We'll have an event that happens and it's gone. It's a clip from your past. And yet you'll literally pull up a chair with a bag of popcorn and hand mouth the popcorn into your mouth subconsciously as you think over and over and over again about what happened, what didn't happen, what you wanted to happen. We spend so much time in front of that drama, playing it over and over again. This is something to put off and to set our minds on the things of God. Once we remember a simple truth that it's not about us, it's not about me. This is something that I repeat quite a bit in the podcast. The Lord continually nudges me and simply drops that phrase in. Hey, Lauren, it's not about you. You're worried and anxious about so many things, and they have nothing to do with your main calling in life, to be my ambassador. Once we realize that we are not our own, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ on the cross. You have been crucified with Christ on the cross, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a profound scripture to really lean into. Galatians 2:20, I've been put to death with Christ on the cross. So it's no longer I who live. What does I contain? What I want, what I think, what I need, my fears, my doubts, my self-focus, egocentric thinking, that all has to do with what I want. It's no longer I who live. Thanks be to God, because that's a heavy, dark space to play in. You were never satisfied, because when you pursue your attachments, again, an attachment is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, you can't be happy. It's a vicious cycle because once you get what you're attached to, let's say you're going for a promotion, you get that promotion, you're going to land a specific account, you get that account, you're wanting approval on a project, you get that approval. Perhaps you're in school, you get a grade, you get a degree. Once you've achieved that which you were wanting to achieve and you have that attachment there, there's that vicious cycle that is quickly followed up if you don't stay in the power of the Holy Spirit of non-attachment that involves anxiety, worry, and doubt that you will lose that which you are attached to that you've gained. Attachments create stress and anxiety. Again, stress is the power you give to external circumstance, whatever your external circumstance is that you've been camping on these last couple of weeks and giving free airtime to between your two ears. It's the power you're giving to that thing to define what you believe you're capable of handling successfully, along with your worth, and your value. Which, as followers of Christ, this is the freedom. Jesus, first and foremost, Jesus adores you. He is the hound from heaven. He is the good shepherd, and he loves you so much. He loves me so much. He will leave the 99 and literally meet you where you're camped. Whatever you're camped on today, is it a fear? Is it an anxiety? Is it a doubt? What is the specific situation that's triggering that emotion? Again, an emotion is your body's response to your thought life. We come back to that place of empowerment, which you've heard me say in previous podcasts, stay awake at the gate of your thoughts. You are the landlord of your mind. Whatever you set your mind on, that spills into your beliefs, your sense of identity, what you believe you're capable of doing, your behavior, and your environment, where what you do happens. It all starts at the top, though. It's that waterfall effect or a ripple effect. Starts with your mind, set on Christ or set on the things of the world. So Colossians chapter 3 really gives us specific guidance as to what we should do less of, and what we should do more of, what we should set our mind on, and what we shouldn't set our mind on, what we should rid ourselves of, and what we should camp on for Christ. I love clarity of focus. The Bible is full of clarity of focus for accuracy of response. Jesus wants your freedom. God adores you so much, he sent his only son to die on a cross for you, to win you, to draw you close. I love that scene on the thief on the cross who was dying on the cross because of behavior, something he did that was hurtful to other people or to the group that he was in or to the culture he was in. And there was a consequence for that. There's always a consequence for that behavior that's apart from the person God's created us to be. We call that sin. The behavior that is not the behavior that aligns with the person God's calling us to be. And that thief on the cross had so much confidence in love over judgment, which I invite you, my brothers and sisters in Christ today, if there's anything that you are feeling guilty about, perhaps in the last couple of weeks, how you said something, what you did, what you didn't do. This is an opportunity today to put that off, that guilt and shame. That's Satan's leer. He's the great accuser. He wants to keep you stuck in that heavy muck, like a fish swimming through jello of shame and guilt and regret. Jesus died to set you free from that. And there's no lag time, which is so beautiful with the scene with the thief on the cross. He simply expresses a desire for union with the lover of his soul. And instantaneously, he receives freedom as Jesus compassionately expresses that well-known phrase, "I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Simply from a humble heart, eternity became that thief's reality. So we know one thing before we jump in today's reading, that true freedom and intimate relationship with Christ walks through the archway of humility. We see this as we read through the four Gospels again and again, the posturing and the behavior of the humble. Jesus uses it in parables that he teaches the people. Two men walk into a church. One stays in the back. One goes up to the front. The one in the back says, "I'm not even worthy to be here." On his knees, "I am so sorry. I did not show up with a behavior that makes you recognizable. Please forgive me." The man in the front says, "Thank you that I'm not like all these other sinners. And I give a tenth of everything I own. Basically, I'm pretty righteous. So I'm giving you some of my time to kind of affirm the fact that I'm a pretty good person here, and I don't need much forgiveness." Jesus says, "Which one is forgiven and walks away in freedom? The one who is at the back of the church." This posturing of humility sets us free. So true freedom walks through the archway of humility, trust and confidence in the one you're following. If you're just tuning in to Edge God In today and you haven't truly encountered Christ in your life, I encourage you to take that leap of faith. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Behind closed doors, on your knees, surrender your life to Christ. Invite him into your heart. It's a simple request, just like the thief on the cross. "Dear Lord, I've sinned. I've done behavior again and again that comes from my own desires, that flow from greed and selfishness and malice and slander and filthy language and wanting other people to fail and me to succeed, selfish ambition, vain conceit. Lay it before the Lord. I don't live like that anymore. It's too heavy. So Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. Come into my life. Make me like you. Set me free from self-focus. I'm done playing that game. I want to think less of myself and more of you. With the gift of each new dawn, come be the Lord of my life. I give you authority over all that I am and the keys to every room inside of me. The rooms that I have held back fears, the rooms that I've contained guilt, the rooms that I have shame, the rooms that I'm not good enough, that I'll never measure up. Save me, dear Lord, from myself. I want to experience that freedom that you died to give me, so that today I can experience that sense, a little sense of that paradise you were talking about to the thief on the cross. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." For those of you who have been walking with the Lord, and yet you're looking for that refreshment because there's so many shiny objects and heavy lead balls that you continually pick up that are creating that sense of friction and frustration and anxiety in your life, come back again. Sit at the feet of your Savior, listen to his voice, and begin again today. We're told that God's mercies are new every morning, every morning. So Holy Spirit, we come before you. Give us wisdom during today's podcast as we lean into Colossians chapter 3. Give us wisdom and show us what we specifically need to put off and put on. What you want us to do less of, and what you want us to do more of. We know in and of ourselves that anything you want us to do, we can't do from the flesh. And all things become possible when we lean into you, because all things are possible when we're led by your power within us, that you will reveal to us things that we can't even imagine. You'll make known to us paths we're not even tuning into, opportunities that we can't even see because we're focused on ourselves and what's not working out versus what is working out. You are the Holy Spirit of possibilities. Help us to set our minds on Christ as we think less of ourselves and more of the presence of Christ's strength in and through us to make him recognizable. Happiness, confidence, and freedom become our way. Holy Spirit, make that our reality today, moving forward, easily and naturally. So you'll find at edgegotin.com, you'll find with each podcast, there's actually some resources. There's some stress management resources. There's a link for that. There's a new recent release book called Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, 25 Solutions to Refresh Your Identity in Christ. And there's also a template that you can download to capture your learnings from every podcast so that you can go over your 1 to 3 things that you want to commit to behavior moving forward. This is how we work with the Holy Spirit to put off our old self and to really solidify the new self in Christ. So there's 5 different phases of learning to help you transfer what is lights on for you today. As I'm reading through the scriptures, there's going to be something the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, this is for you. So if you have a notepad, write that down and you can transfer it to that one sheet. You can print out on the action, taking the action steps moving forward. And then review it within 48 hours. Studies show that if you review any new learning within 48 hours, at least 2 times, you up the retainability level about 85%. So it doesn't take very much. It just takes a couple minutes every night to just go over what you want to really are committed to transferring. So today is a good, simple podcast with a lot of fun information in that it's easy to see these behaviors and what you want to do less of and what you want to do more of. So as I ask you to think about something from the last 2 weeks that you're camping on that's producing that negative thought train, or as Dr. Amen refers to, ants, the ants are trashing your picnic, the automatic negative thoughts. Think about that specific time. Also think about the behavior that started to show up, that started to crash your party when you were thinking upon those things related to the undesirable circumstance. It's a vicious cycle. Be very careful. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to devour you during those times of weakness. The time of weakness I'm talking about is when you give more authority to whatever it is outside of you than to your strength of God within you to handle it successfully. You are abandoning your David mentality to face your Goliath. So as we read in Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, got mine, my hard copy here, it's all marked up. Turn to chapter 3, and we begin, Paul says in chapter 3, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, this is a directive here. He's giving you a directive. Perhaps this is a reminder, one of your 3 things you're going to want to write down. You, therefore, since you've been risen with Christ to a new life, shared in his resurrection, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So here is one piece of guidance to put on. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, not on your circumstance. As quickly as possible, focus on Jesus. He goes on to say, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things on the earth, which have only temporal value. As I've said before, can you take this with you beyond the pine box? If the answer is no, ask the Holy Spirit, help me to release this and focus on what you want me to do, what my next step is, so that I can keep my eyes fixed on heaven, not on earthly things. These are 2 scriptures highly recommend you commit to memory, for you died to this world and your new life is hidden in Christ, he goes on to say, in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Then he says, so put on the focus on Christ. That's something to put on. Now, put to death or put off or do less of in verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. So put to death and deprive of the power of evil longings of your earthly body, which is sensual, self-centered, and has those self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passions, evil desires, and greed, which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. There's another powerful verse in Thessalonians about greed that talks about how we have the mask of greed, that we use flattery to as a mask for greed. And oftentimes this comes from that hidden motive where there's a Bible study, a podcast that's worth listening to about what are your motives, that oftentimes that's where Satan slips in, right? So to ask for that pure heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Greed is a slippery little serpent. We get greedy for people's time. We get greedy for position, power, popularity, possessions. We get greedy for space. We get greedy for our time. So we don't welcome interruptions that perhaps are sent by the Lord to help another person. Ask the Holy Spirit to take you on a deep dive of greed. It's very enlightening. I say that because I've prayed that prayer and wow, I didn't realize I was so greedy until the Holy Spirit pointed out all the different faces and masks of greed. So put off greed, that self-centered focus, and ask the Holy Spirit, how does greed manifest in my life? Do I get irritated when something's taken from me that I think is rightfully mine? Do I get resentful or angry or frustrated? This is the place that Satan keeps you stuck. These are the heavy rooms that Satan desires to lock you up in so that you can't experience the freedom of Christ. Enough. Put to death, Paul says, and deprive of the power, the evil longings in these areas, sinful desires and greed. Because of these sinful things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, those who fail to listen and routinely and obstinately disregard God's precepts. And in these sinful things, you also once walked when you were habitually living in them without knowing the knowledge of Christ. I remember reading this when I was 17 because I was totally sold out and hijacked by the world. It was all about, I was living from the outside in rather than the inside out. I was giving more authority to what people said, didn't say, who I liked, who didn't like me. Wow, it was exhausting. And then when I realized I could literally step away from that game, that finite game of life, and start playing the infinite game of life with Christ, wow, I was all in. I was definitely a work in progress and still am a work in progress, but yet I wanted that rather than that heaviness. Rid yourself, Paul says, of all these things. Now, this is where I want you to really take a deeper dive and write down where you recognize yourself. What's your go-to in this list that Paul's laying out? Anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene language, vulgar language from your mouths. Let's posit slander. Slander is gossip. Slander is putting down another human being, saying unkind words to, it's in the category of bullying with your words. We see tons of this going on social media, which is why I encourage a social media fast if you're rising and falling based on what you see on social media and you're not staying in a place of peace and love in Christ. Then rip it out. As Jesus said, cut off your arm, take out your eye. It's better to enter the kingdom of God without that. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to step away from, to get rid of, to do less of, to make and to do more, to be able to open up that door of intimacy with you? Paul's being very specific. Anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene language. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created a new self, a renewal in which there is no distinction. He goes on to equality here. So as God's chosen people in verse 12, who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well-loved, this is where he starts to list, this is what you put off. It's very clear. Verse 8 and 9, rid yourselves of these, anger, rage, malice, slander. And this is where I encourage you to take a deep dive. Ask the Holy Spirit, where am I playing? Just know that anger is an expression of fear. When you're angry about something, it's actually a fear. And we know whose signature is fear. Satan's signature is fear. God's signature is love. So when you're experiencing anger in any way, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Think of the last time you were angry. In my case, when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce, there was lots of fears. So I was angry at different times. I had anger flare-ups. It was a defense mechanism because of a deep fear that I wasn't going to live and I'd leave my kids without a mom, that I wouldn't be able to pay the rent, that I wouldn't feel safe, that I wasn't capable of handling the situation. So I got angry. Once you get down to the fear, clarity of focus leads to accuracy response. You can toss that into the lap of Christ. Lord, I'm afraid of dying. I don't want to leave my three children without a mom. Help me to overcome this because nothing thrives in a state of fear. And so I want to overcome that and replace it with faith. If you're struggling with fear, there's another podcast on Edge God In. And I believe it's entitled Fear, Fear and Faith, or Fear Choosing Faith Over Fear. You can go through the different podcasts and look for that at edgegodin.com, but it's really mastering your fear so that you could be set free and allowing the Holy Spirit to do that through you. So rage comes from anger, which is rooted in fear. As we're looking through this list, anger, rage, malice, that's where the motives get off, that you have the intent for harm for other people. Slander comes from that, obscene talk. Cursing, lying. Lying also has many faces. Why do we lie? Because we're afraid. Again, it's fear. Satan is the father of lies. You can't do this. You're not enough. No one likes you. You're not going to get picked. This isn't going to work out for you. You're going to die. All kinds of slippery fears. What is your fear today that's robbing you of peace? The peace that Jesus desires for you to embrace because he loves you. What is your fear? Don't allow it to be the boss of you. You have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave living in you. Declare that power. What are you afraid of? Frustration also stems from a fear. Fear that I won't be enough, that I won't measure up, that I... What is it for you? There's all kinds of different expressions. Clarity of focus leads to accuracy response. Lying comes, we lie about ourselves, we lie to other people. There's all kinds of different lies. There's the white lies. It's amazing how we use the white to cover up darkness. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to say? Help me not to speak one word because we're told that the tongue is a restless evil, unable to be tamed. Our only hope is the power of the Holy Spirit to help us with our tongue. Help me not to lie. Dear God, protect my mouth from malice, from slander, from accusation, from fortune telling, from mind reading, from assumptions. Protect my mind and my words. I only want to think what you want me to think, and help me to see people as you see me, for who I desire to be rather than how my behavior shows up. Help me to have that same vision you had on the cross when you looked out at the people that crucified you with great love and said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. I need your help with that, Lord, because I don't have love in my heart for these people or that certain situation or person. Up my love factor because love sets people free. Judgment pushes people away. Sends people to hell in their own minds, a living hell. Set us free, Lord, set us free. So do not lie to one another or to yourself. Stand up against any lies Satan's whispering into your ears. No one likes you. Remember that phrase? I remember I'm dating myself, but I remember there was a phrase, nobody likes you, everybody hates you, think I'll eat a worm. Same totally fights with us. So fight back with one of those childhood statements. I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces back to you. Shazam. Talk back. Talk back. I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces back to you. Or in Sherpa Executive Coaching, one of our coaching tools we use, which is one of my favorites, is Q-tip, which stands for quit taking it personally. When you are grounded in Christ, you don't have to accept or receive any feedback, negative feedback from other people, because you're in Christ. You ask Jesus, what is true for me? What do you want me to learn from this situation? What do you want me to hold on to? What do you want me to release? It's not about you. It's about Jesus and the learning, the school or the class he has you in. He has you in a class of freedom. He desires your freedom from worrying about what other people will think or say. We lie when we feel cornered. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to sift you in those areas. So let's end our podcast focusing on what Paul asks us to put on. So as God's chosen people who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well-loved, beloved by God himself, put on, do more of, camp on this. I'm using different phrases here. Step into this. Zip this up. Put these clothes on. This is what he's saying. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Gentleness and patience. Our last podcast was all about, are you happy while you wait? If you are frustrated and feel that you're waiting for something to happen in your life, it's a good one to lean into. Gentleness and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes, with good temper. Patience. Jesus did not open his mouth once when he was falsely accused. Is there a time to open your mouth and stand for justice? Absolutely. Is justice putting down one group of people or one person at the expense of another? No. Justice has wisdom. Justice is patient. Justice is kind. Justice speaks the truth in love. Follow Jesus' example and lead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, when you feel a negative emotion coming up, know that that's coming from the flesh. When you have calm, objective confidence and a sense of curiosity, dear God, what do you want me to do here? That's when you know you're leading and giving the Spirit permission to guide your flesh versus the flesh permission to guide the Spirit. Put on patience. Patience, bearing graciously with one another, and willingness to forgive each other. If one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you should forgive. Jesus says in the end times, people will have an increase of taking offense. Taking offense comes from an original etymology, a word. I love words, so I love finding the etymology of words. Scandalon. When you take offense, you are stepping into something referred to as scandalon. A scandalon was a part of a trap to trap animals, and it held the bait. The scandalon part of the trap actually held the bait that would attract the animal to bite the bait and be trapped. Every time you take offense, you are trapped. Taking offense leads to complaining, leads to murmuring. Remember what happened to the people that were murmuring in the Old Testament? They were swallowed up because of the murmuring and complaining. Snakes were sent to them to bite them. You are bit by snakes, metaphorically speaking, when you play in this space. Paul is saying, for our sake, do not touch, do not taste. These are all destined to perish with use. Your go-to is the lover of your soul. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, Paul tells us in verse 14, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves up in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when one seeks the best for others. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise, meaning anything that comes up, you go to Jesus. What do you want me to say? I'm your ambassador, Lord, not here on my own to stand up for me. What do you want me to say here? How do you want me to approach this? Jesus was radical in his love. It didn't make sense not to stand up when he was being falsely accused, yet he was accomplishing something greater than we could possibly imagine. The salvation of souls, the splitting of the veil that allows us to enter the Holy of Holies, that allows us to have a personal and very intimate relationship with the God of our lives. Jesus knew there was a greater good than had that suffering not even occurred. This is where we gain wisdom. As I mentioned in the last podcast, before my double mastectomy, I was weeping because of the fear of just going through what I knew I was going through, physically speaking. She got up in my face and said, hey, I think we both know who's ultimately in charge here. Whatever it is that you're going through today and what you're seeing around you, take a deep breath, lean back into the lover of your soul, and remember, I think we both know who's ultimately in charge here. Let the peace of Christ be the controlling factor in your hearts and your minds. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ permeate you, teach you, train you, sing psalms, hymns, and beautiful words of thanksgiving to God. Whatever you do, no matter word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. We just read through Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17. This is a group of scriptures that's worth you camping on for a while. Take this particular group of passages into your meditation, into your prayer time. Ask the Holy Spirit to really sift you, to show you, what do you want me to take from this? Because Jesus' ultimate goal is your freedom. It's for freedom that you have been set free. Galatians 5:1. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery of the mind. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For your life is hidden in Christ. So seek what is above, not what is on the earth. When you murmur, when you complain or take offense because you're giving the flesh permission to guide the spirit, the ramification of that is actually very physical. There's something in your brain called the hippocampus, and the hippocampus actually restricts. When you're stressed and you feel threatened by something outside of you, not only the hippocampus, but the frontal cortex will restrict and shoot the blood to the back part of your brain, sending it to your limbs so that you can fight, flight, or freeze. Those are the only three choices you have. Those are very limited choices. In fact, science shows that when someone's in that space, the energy that's clocked by the electromagnetic encephalogram only goes out 2 inches from the brain. Energy is your capacity for action. When you're in that negative space, you only have 2 inches to play in. However, science shows that when a person is camped on what we read in chapter 3, verse 12 of Colossians, compassion, gentleness, patience, kindness, humility, and ultimately love, that energy has been clocked to be several football fields long, coming out of the heart. Perhaps that's why the scripture says so brilliantly, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Complaining shrinks the brain. Think back over the last week. What percentage of your words would fall into the bucket of complaining? You're limiting your own ability for success, for moving forward, for tuning into options. When the frontal cortex restricts, that actually prevents you from being able to tune into what's referred to as executive thinking, or simply put, being able to tune into options for solution. Jesus was constantly in his frontal cortex. he had the Son of God thing going on, which was nice. But he leads us. He's our teacher. He's our savior. He's guiding us into this. You too can have this experience of freedom in the mind, which is why Paul addresses the mind so much. Romans 12, 1 through 2, do not conform to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind, keep focused on the things above, not on things on the earth. This is your freedom. You died to the things that are in the world. Your life is hidden in Christ now. You are Christ's ambassador. I am Christ's ambassador. Once we've made that decision to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want what you have. I want you to make yourself recognizable through me. Show me what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like moving forward. More of you, less of me. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, there's so many invitations contained in this letter that Paul wrote, specifically in Colossians chapter 3. Give us the strength to guard our heart, to set our mind, to put on kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience, to let go of our need to be right, liked, understood, to let go of taking offense. My gosh, we have such an energy leak, Lord, going on in our society of taking offense these days. We refuse to play that game. Today, now moving forward, we want to begin again. We want to embrace bearing graciously with those people around us, willing to forgive ourselves and other people. We want to live in love, in your love. Give us the strength to rid ourselves of anger, fueled by fear that we're not enough, we're not okay, we can't handle something. Get thee behind us, Satan. We belong to Christ. Our victory has been won by the blood of Christ. We bind, rebuke, and cast out rage, malice, slander, obscene, abusive, filthy, bullying, and vulgar language from our mouth. Give us the grace of truth, a pure heart. Make us aware of any lie, any half lie, any partial lie, lying to ourselves, believing the lies that Satan breathes into our thinking or tries to get us to take offense, that scandalon piece of meat he wants us to bite. Enough. Jesus, we choose you. We surrender our lives to you. We need you. We pray for your grace. These are tumultuous times, Lord. What do you want me to do? Show us how we can make you recognizable in the midst of confusion, in the midst of anger, in the midst of frustrations arising around us. In the midst of mental and physical war, we pray for your grace. We desire to be a city set on a hill. Help us to shine for you. We're so sorry for making it about us. You can handle yourself. You are ultimately in charge here. Give us the posturing of humility, gentleness, compassion, so that we can forgive from a genuine heart, take off the masks of greed, put on and wrap ourselves in your unselfish love, which is the perfect bond, Lord, that will allow us to connect to our brothers and sisters around us. We desire that your peace would be the controlling factor of our hearts moving forward from this moment on. Yet let your word dwell in us richly, Lord, permeating every part of our being so that we can move forth with joy in our hearts while we wait, and that we are attentive to what you want us to say in word and deed. Whatever you want us to do, help us to do it in your name, not in our name, in your name. Give us the grace of freedom. You've got this. You've got us. You believe we can, whatever it is that's overwhelming us today, you believe we can with you. We're the ones that limit ourselves, Lord. So help us to die to ourselves so that we can live for you and be truly free. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what will you commit to putting on more of today, doing more of today? And what will you commit to doing less of today? To be able to make the power of Colossians chapter 3 a reality in your life, so that you can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Jesus adores you right where you are at. He sees you for who you desire to be. Those who have God, who know God, who seek God, and surrender to God's will for them in their lives, find they lack nothing. One of my favorite quotes from St. Teresa of Avila, who wrote an incredible book called The Interior Castle. It's a very powerful journey. Highly recommend that read as well. Enjoy your gift of life today. Thank you for joining us, for fellowshipping with us again. Take a deep breath. Get off that stage of drama. Pack up your campsite and reposition it on the heart of Christ. He's got you. He's got this. There's nothing to fear. As Peter said, his phrase when he was looking at the waves around him, "Help me, Lord." Jesus' response was very simple. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith today. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. We're his ambassadors here. We're his hands, his heart, and his feet, continuing to be the living, moving, walking example of Jesus Christ of Nazareth on earth. How can you make him more recognizable today than yesterday? Edge God in. You continually to be in our prayers. And we look forward to another fellowship with the next podcast on edgegodin.com. Please visit us at edgegodin.com. If you're not already signed up, you have the ability to do that when you visit our site in the upper right-hand corner to join the podcast. Then you'll get reminders when a new podcast comes along. And share the good news. If you were moved by this today, then perhaps there's somebody else that can be moved closer to Jesus Christ of Nazareth as a result of what we talked about today and how we fellowshiped together today. God bless you. And know that God adores you.